Elliott takes down Texas, and Kyle Busch is making headlines again. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson, Brad Gilley, breaking down all the events from the Lone Star State. And for the second time this year, the siren wailed away at the Dawsonville Pool Room as Chase Elliott streaked to a win at Texas Motor Speedway, his second victory at that mile-and-a-half racing facility. Let's hear what it sounded like on PRN.
Hamlin closes it up just a little bit on Elliott now as they get into turn number three. Here comes Hamlin down to the bottom of the racetrack. No, he'll sweep up high now and off the corner. Five. Trouble, car in the wall, down here at three and four. That is the 42 of John Hunter Nemechek. Caution's out on the speedway.
They will give him the white flag. We are still racing here at Texas.
At John Hunter Nemechek. Cars in the middle of the racetrack, Andrew.
Yes, and Chase Elliott is still racing. He's going one final time down on turn number two. Chase Elliott down the back straightaway.
Here he comes into turn number three. Car is out of the way and down on the pit road. No caution. Here comes Elliott for the final time today.
Chase Elliott streaks out of turn number four with a four-car length advantage over Denny Hamlin. He'll see the checkered flag and he'll win at Texas Motor Speedway.
Chase Elliott wins it, and a very much an emphatic win for Elliott as he was the major player during the second half of that race. Let's hear from NASCAR's most popular.
You never know what to do in the situations, and you can always make the wrong choice, right? Even the right decision can look wrong in those decisions and in those times. And, you know, that's really difficult. So a lot of credit to Alan for just sticking with his gut and going with what he felt like was the right move. And, you know, we stuck with it, stayed out. And for me, I just felt like the bottom lane was preferred if I could get clear through one and two. I thought as long as I did that, that was the lane to be in. And then from there, you know, if I didn't get clear, I was going to be in trouble. But I just didn't want to give Denny that opportunity and felt like that was the right thing.
All right, let's hear from PRN's anchor, Brad Gilley, who called the race yesterday at Texas Motor Speedway. Brad, I felt like in many ways this was one of Chase Elliott's more emphatic wins.
I would agree with you. And, you know, the fact that he's won at Texas now in two of the last three seasons has been pretty awesome. But what I really liked about this one took all 400 miles. And Chase Elliott, Alan Gustafson, that entire number nine team, they put everything together that they needed to do. It took great pit stops. It took a fast race car. And it took hard racing. And truthfully, Denny Hamlin got the jump on Chase Elliott on the final restart, but he still prevailed with four laps to go when the green came back out. And I thought just all of it was an amazing run by that team.
All right, my tongue's firmly in cheek here, Alexis, but what are the Chase Elliott fans going to do now that they can't blame everything in the world on Alan Gustafson?
Well, Alan's got to be feeling pretty good today, you know, and he does sometimes take a lot of scrutiny because he is the leader of that team that has such a big spotlight on it. But I mean, you have to give a lot of credit to him. And as Brad said, to the entire team, obviously yesterday seemed to me to be a track position race. They were able to get the track position, you know, kind of midway through the race and then keep it. And then when they had to make that call about whether or not to stay out or come in, the right call was made. And obviously, you know, Chase had the preferred line on that restart, which even though Denny got a little bit of a jump on him, he was able to hold the lead, and that was all he needed. And so it was a total team effort. And I think maybe the fans are a little bit quieter today when it comes to the Alan Gustafson and hate than they may. Well, you know, there's always next week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Good for Alan. He gets a little bit of a respite from the constant pounding that the guy's undeservedly taken over the years. Brad, we're 11 races in, and as you guys said on the broadcast there, Chase Elliott's second win of the year. Are we starting to see a group of drivers in your mind that have sort of separated themselves as being title favorites, or is there a lot to go?
I think so, and you can't ignore Tyler Reddick. The man has won five races this year. You can't ignore Denny Hamlin. He's been strong week in and week out, as the Toyotas have also. And now you can't ignore Chase Elliott. With two trips to victory lane and two honest trips to victory lane at very different tracks, one at Martinsville and one at Texas, here's the other great thing. In the three wins that Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin have combined to win this season, they have finished 1-2 in all three of those races. When Denny won Las Vegas, Chase Elliott was second. When Chase won Martinsville in Texas, Denny was second. I'm all about that competitive rivalry.
I'm liking how this is shaping up, Alexis. We're always looking for the next two to butt heads. I don't know if they're exactly butting heads, but these are two really good race teams with excellent wheelmen.
I think when you think about a rivalry, you want to think about that on-track competition element. Like, that's the biggest element, right? We're going to talk later about drivers who are having disputes and doing all these things, and their names are coming up in the media. But when you talk about a true rivalry, it's when it happens on the racetrack, and you never know between those two drivers which one is going to edge out the other one. And as Brad said in that pretty great stat, they finished 1-2 three times this season, and I think we can probably bet it's going to happen again as the year continues.
Brad, it's always an interesting prospect of who's number one within the family, who gets to sit closest to the head of the table. Is Chase Elliott now, is he the lead show pony at Hendrick Motorsports?
Yes, he is. And yes, he has been. Let's go back to last year as well. Yeah. A couple trips to victory lane. Chase Elliott's won more races than any other Hendrick driver over now the last season and a third. We're this weekend at the one-year anniversary since Kyle Larson's last win. For William Byron, he's had a bit of a struggle as well. I'd love to see Alex Bowman get two third-place finishes in a row after coming back. But performance-wise, Chase Elliott's it. He is absolutely the lead dog there right now.
So I have a question, though. What does that championship in the middle of all that for Kyle Larson do?
Cracks me up.
Yeah.
Did that help inch him a little bit closer to that head of the table or what?
Look, this sport is all about what have you done for me lately.
Yep.
And I'm like you, I've been like the first one to say, you know, oh, by the way, we are talking about our reigning champion. It's
right.
Not like he's exactly in a slump right now. There was a reason why he got to last year's championship four. But in the world of what have you done for me lately, Chase Elliott's been the one taking home the most race trophies.
That's true.
And I plead guilty here. In my mind, that championship that Kyle Larson won last year, I'm not taking anything away from it. It doesn't register. The story that Denny Hamlin lost the title and not that Kyle Larson won it last year is the one that is foremost in my cranium.
Cranium, nice word. I hate to use the word forgettable, but that's kind of how I feel a little bit about that, because I feel like a lot of people, when they're talking, especially in the media, we know because this is what we do day in and day out. But when you hear people talking about, the situation at Hendrick Motorsports or the fact that Kyle Larson hasn't won in so many races and all this stuff, I think people do sometimes forget that he was the 2025 champion.
Yeah.
And is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it absolutely a fair assessment. Look, we spent most of, 300 some odd laps at Phoenix Raceway last year thinking Denny Hamlin was about to be handed the trophy right up until William Byron's tire blew as Denny was about to take the white flag. And then the next thing you know, it's Denny's for three solid hours until the last 2 minutes of the race. Oh, it went to Larson. All right, we'll see y'all next year.
Yeah, right.
And I think he knows that.
Yeah.
I think Kyle Larson is aware. Yeah, I got the trophy, the check, all that stuff
sure.
that comes with it. He didn't get the glory out of it. It just didn't, and maybe that's not fair because he won the title. It was his.
He
did it how it was supposed to. But as Brad just pointed out, everything up until he won that championship last year was about Denny Hamlin, who we're going to spend a segment talking about later on.
Well, I just want to say, because I know that we do have to go to break, but I think what happened last year and how that played out is a big reason why we have a different playoff format this season.
And I think when we get down to the last couple of races this year, we're going to be talking about Denny Hamlin a lot again. Kyle Larson. They got to get up on their horse. They've had a lot of bad luck, and they're not performing at the level that we're used to seeing them. We'll see how that plays out. Speaking of Denny Hamlin, he led the parade yesterday for Toyota as we give you the Toyota performance report. Denny came home second. Tyler Reddick rallied, put on four fresh tires. Brad, I thought you were there calling the race. I thought for a second, whoa, he may make this interesting.
There were a couple of times where I thought, oh man, Tyler Reddick is going to steal this one somehow, some way, and we're going to leave here with a six race winner out of 11 in 2026. But I agree with you. I thought the same thing could happen.
Bubba Wallace was ninth, and Alexis, that's a lot considering he was in a backup car and had to start at the back.
Yeah, that was a big deal for him. Obviously had an incident in practice and qualifying, but great rally for that team. For
and
sure.
We had a Riley Herbst sighting as he came home in 11th. 12th went to Eric Jones. John Hunter Nemechek was 21st. Could have been a lot better. Chase Briscoe was 23rd. Corey Heim, who was a great story in this race, Brad, running that extra car, finished 31st. That does not speak to how well he raced.
He led the second highest number of laps. A lot of those were on a different fuel strategy, but that does not take away from the performance. Corey Heim legitimately led yesterday at Texas Motor Speedway, and my gosh, he is so talented. I cannot wait until we see him every single week when he gets a full-time ride.
Yeah, behind Who Built the Pyramids and Bigfoot. This is the biggest mystery on the planet. That's why he is not in a cup car. Ty Gibbs was 36th. He raced better than that. And Christopher Bell, his Texas curse continues. He finished in 37th. That is our Toyota Performance Report. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN Pit Stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's drag him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Brad Dilley pointed it out in the last segment. Tyler Reddick has won 5 races this year. That's 5 out of 11. That's a lot. That doesn't leave a whole lot to go around for the rest of the people. And now that Chase has won a couple, then all the other winners we've had this year are single race winners. And I pose this to both of you. This leaves us with William Byron. These are the big names that I feel like, you could probably add one or two more on here, that have not won this year. William Byron, Bubba Wallace, because he's a 2-time champion, I'm going to put Kyle Busch in there. Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, give or take a Brad Keselowski. I should be polite. Since I put Busch in, I should put Brad K in. Alexis, which one of these non-winning drivers this year that have traditionally won in the past, and a couple of them, 3 of them have championships? 4 of them have championships, because Logano hasn't won this year either. So, which one wins first? Or did they win? Or did any of these people win?
I think they do. I think we certainly see some people from that list win. Of course, the first, you know, the names that jump off to me are obviously William Byron, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano. I think I'm going to probably pull from the Hendrick Motorsports stable before I would Penske. I think Penske and Ford, to a certain extent, have a lot of work to do, especially on the mile and a half tracks. So I think out of those two, my gut's telling me William Byron. And he's been quiet. He's had a very quiet season. We haven't, you know, talked about him a lot. At least I feel like I haven't heard his name bubbling to the top a lot. But he's also someone who I feel like can and has dug himself out of slumps, and I expect him to do that again, and hopefully maybe within the next month or so.
Brad, we got a plethora of what I feel like are big name, well-financed teams that don't have a driver. Byron may be the most prominent. Bubba Wallace doesn't have a win. Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, and Brad Keselowski. How many of these guys get a win before the year is over? And you cannot say all of them.
I'm not going to say all of them. Thank because you. I don't think they all get a win before the year is over. But actually, I want to bring up a name that you don't have on there, and he's with Joe Gibbs Racing, and that's Christopher Bell. Just bad luck has hit him a lot, and I'm not going to say it's going to happen at Watkins Glen this weekend. I'm not even going to say it'll happen at Dover in the All-Star race, and for many people that might not count the same because we don't give points, but I could see Christopher Bell putting together 600 miles coming up Memorial Day weekend.
That's a great pick. Yep. I mean, he's obviously had some super bad luck as of late. I mean, I don't even know how you categorize it. It's worse than bad luck. I don't necessarily think it happens this weekend, though. I think we get another new winner this weekend, and that's SVG. I mean, we're going to Watkins Glen. You know, I think for sure Trackhouse has got a lot of work to do. I'm not jumping to put Chastain in the winner's circle anytime soon. But I think SVG, because of his prowess on these road courses, is going to overcome the hurdles that Trackhouse are facing right now.
I felt like last year that SVG was the lock to win all the road courses. And I still like him on the road courses, Brad, but I don't like Trackhouse as much. And I could easily see Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, someone else challenging him, even at Watkins Glen. Something is amiss there. And even as good as SVG is, I think it could hurt him on the road course.
Look, Tyler Reddick had a better car than Shane Van Gisbergen at Circuit of the Americas. And that's why Tyler Reddick won with Van Gisbergen chasing him down. I still feel like Connor Zilich had the best car at Circuit of the Americas and had some rookie mistakes happen to him along the way. If we're looking ahead to this weekend, it would not surprise me to see our third first-time winner.
You would not be surprised if Zilich wins it.
I would not be surprised whatsoever if Connor Zilich wins it.
Yeah, I don't think I would be either, to be honest with you, because of the situation and where it is at a road course, knowing how good he is on road courses. But I also feel like when you're a rookie, man, rookie things happen. I just feel like that, unfortunately, you can even potentially say it's a little bit of a rookie curse. Rookie things happen. And even though he is so good at road courses, and if he did win, I would not be surprised. I also would not be surprised if some rookie things happen.
There have been a lot of them this year.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of them. And it's a big step up. I'm not going to say I'd be shocked. I would be surprised. I would definitely be surprised. Two things. One, he is still a rookie. The learning curve is so steep. It's not a curve.
Yeah.
It's a straight up and down line. That, and I just got to think, he's the same organization that SVG is, that maybe his stuff is not quite where SVG is because they need to get that W. I don't know. I this year, they've just been so far out to lunch. And as much as I like Ross Chastain, and he does, by the way, he does a great job.
He really
commentary
does.
On these O'Reilly races. I mean, it's illuminating what he does there, and he's so natural at it. So thanks for that. As much as I like him, I don't know where his win's going to come from. You got to lead laps. You got to get top five finishes. You got to be talked about.
And yeah, you have to not speed on pit road once you race your way into the top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a big thing at Texas. He's looking good. He's nudged his way. I think he was running sixth or seventh. And then you speed during a green flag pit stop, and the next thing you know, you're two laps down and you're irrelevant the rest of the day. And that happened late in the race.
Yes, yeah. You cannot have those devastating things happen. Unless you have Ryan Blaney's car, you can't have those devastating things happen. And I only say that because Ryan Blaney had two pit road mishaps yesterday. One his crew members, and he still rallied back to a top 10.
You know, if you bring that up, Brad, and Alexis, that's a guy that he could be a 3- or 4-time winner this year, but his pit crew has just been dreadful, so bad that they had to change the jack man. And now that they've made changes, there are still miscues. That stuff's hard to fix.
I think it's interesting more than that. I mean, it is hard to fix, certainly, and they do have pit road issues, I think, up and down for Team Penske, unfortunately. But I think what's more interesting to me is the fact that Ryan Blaney seems to overcome all of these things really, really well. And his teammates, though I will say Austin Cindric has had a pretty decent year. He has shown flashes of brilliance, and he has in some cases been the best, if not the second best, Team Penske car in any given race. But maybe even just the juxtaposition between him and Joey Logano in the 22, they sometimes just seem out to lunch. And then you have Ryan Blaney having all of these unfortunate things happen and still being able to race his way into top 10s and top 5s. And so with that in mind, Doug, I think you're right. If he didn't have those, he probably would have a few more wins on the season, more than just the one that he has. But it's kind of crazy to me the difference between especially the 12 and the 22 on any given weekend.
And there comes a point after you have so much frustration, Brad, I'll direct that to you, AKA Joey Logano, that it's almost like, what do I have to do? I mean, that was the most uncharacteristic thing I've seen in a long time, with Logano running over a car on pit road, tearing his car up and effectively taking himself out of the race.
Yeah, my gosh. And just when, look, he was a part of the big 24-car pile up at Talladega, but they have just been dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping in the standings. Comes into Texas really just one spot above being on the bubble. And when you do something like that, when something like that happens, now he's dropped out of chase contention right now.
17th right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and guess what? He's chasing Chase Briscoe, who's got one of the fastest cars out there, by 7 points. Heck, at that time, Chastain had almost passed them both till he had a speeding penalty. But whatever's going on with the 22, they have to clean it up in both performance and execution.
You know, Chase Briscoe, somebody also on that winless list that we didn't mention, that probably should be mentioned, because he also, I feel like, has, in the same kind of realm as Christopher Bell, had some really bad luck. And they were so fast last year. They made it to the final four, which I certainly didn't predict.
No, nobody did.
And so to see them have, you know, the start to the season that they've had this year has been a little bit shocking to me.
The other thing that has skewed all these numbers and given us all these non-winners has been Tyler Reddick.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, he has won 5 of the 11 races. When you have one person that wins 5, there's just not a lot left over.
Right.
And there have been 0 leftovers for these guys. Denny Hamlin, he may be the center of the known NASCAR universe. We'll talk about that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those nodders and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert. And we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Off a Texas Motor Speedway race weekend. By the way, congrats to the folks at TMS. A sellout. Alexis, when it first came on television, I heard through the grapevine that they had a big crowd there. It was really nice to see that opening lap, and you see the grandstands, and there was a butt in every seat.
Yeah, it certainly, you know, warms the heart when you can turn on the race and see a full grandstand. And look, the weather was, I mean, Brad can tell you, he was there for it, was picture perfect. Just a really great day to watch a race, and the fans turned out.
Brad, I know that's your home track and you worked there before you came on with PRN. Had to be a good day to see that place bursting at the seams.
It was a good day, and, you know, 2 years in a row now, and it's been pretty cool to see. And, you know, truthfully, I was impressed Friday night by the Truck Series crowd, and I was talking to someone after, and they're like, yeah, our walk-up alone, people who bought tickets that day, was up 11%, and that was a day that we thought was going to rain out. And then Saturday had a nice crowd for the O'Reilly race, but yesterday I came in, the race started here locally just after 2:30. I drove in at 9:30, and there was already traffic. There were already fans just throughout the fan zone in the midway doing stuff. There were people just hanging out, having a good time. And then to see the sea of campers and the infield completely full, it was it brings an energy, you know, and it's just such a good vibe.
All right, I ask this out of ignorance. Most things I ask, to be honest with you. I know this doesn't affect the camping. Have we gotten a little hurricane bump here? Has Josevar
potentially?
Has he gotten some folks that maybe were like, I don't really have anybody, and now, okay, I can pull for the guy with the goofy haircut?
I mean, certainly the fact that he followed up, certainly the fact that he followed up his win with a Truck Series win and then a Cup Series pole. I mean, you know, obviously you think about, and we're all guilty of this, you think about a driver winning at a place like Talladega and you think, oh, that could potentially be a one-off. You know, it's a super speedway. We sometimes get crazy winners there. It was so refreshing to see him come to Texas and have a great amount of success to follow up his win at Talladega. I think that shows more than anything that we're going to see this hopefully continued success as the season goes on. I mean, he had a seventh place finish yesterday.
Right.
So, I mean, I think certainly if it didn't happen this past weekend at Texas, it's going to happen, and he is going to bring fans to the sport of NASCAR.
I feel like it was Lee Diffie that hung the Hurricane moniker on him.
Yes.
Last year. Is that right, Brad?
Yeah, you're right.
Because I think I even tweeted about that because I heard that and I thought, all right, that fits. And now, you know, I would not be surprised if there's not a whole line of merch.
I'm not going to lie. When I first heard it, I was like, that's kind of corny. But then when he won Talladega and everybody's tweeting, oh, Category 77 Hurricane just hit Talladega. I was like, I like it. It works.
You know, yeah. There's a hockey team that has Hurricanes trademark.
Hey, though. And they're doing pretty good in the Stanley Cup Finals, by the way.
Beat Philly 3-0 the other day. Let's talk a little bit about Denny Hamlin. And I'm not kidding when I say he feels like Alexis. He is the middle of the NASCAR universe right now. That everything, what is that? 5 points of separation or however many?
Yeah.
You know, he's the Kevin Bacon of NASCAR right now. He loses the title in dramatic fashion. He has personal family tragedy. He's in the lawsuit, and for all intents and effects, they win the lawsuit. His driver has won 5 races. He has won a race. He's back in title contention. Now he's in a war of words with Spire Motorsports. And everything, it seems like, in this sport. And he goes up and bumps the honorary pace car driver, Cooper Flagg, at the start of the race yesterday. Thanks for not doing that when I was at the 600.
Just because he can.
Because he can.
Yeah.
Is there anything in this sport isn't touching Denny Hamlin?
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there is a folk artist named Noah Kahn who just dropped a new album last week. And one of the songs on that album, Hey, I'm Going Music, which I know you love,
by the way. I'm all about it.
But you have a look on your face like you're concerned about where I'm going with this. He dropped a song called Orbiter. And I feel like everything in the NASCAR universe orbits around Denny Hamlin because he seems to be at the center of it. And you're right. I mean, when you look at what he does on any given week, and we talked about this before the show started, when he goes on Twitter and he, you know, gives basically his opinion on a lawsuit that is currently happening, that mm-hmm. is being litigated, you know, in the court system, but he still feels the need to go on Twitter and talk about it. I just feel like, you know, he has so much experience and he's done so much in this sport. He's at the point where he just, I don't want to say he doesn't care, but he's willing to give his opinion without repercussions.
He's not afraid. And I left that out. He does have a very popular podcast, Actions Detrimental, that he expresses a lot of things on. Where are we right now, Brad? Is there anything that Denny Hamlin doesn't touch right now in the sport? And I honestly mean this.
Well, I would say he's definitely lately been trying to lay his hands on everything, from Kyle Busch's performance to the lawsuit to a lot of different things. But here's the other thing. He's also performing on the track, and that's the thing that really is the most impressive to me. I mean, here's a guy who's 45 years old, and elite, I don't even know, is a good enough word to describe his talent. And that's what's showing on the racetrack. Look, there are a lot of things that he does that I'm like, maybe you should stay away from that, or maybe you should be more positive about that. But I'm glad he does it. There are a lot of things that he does that I'm like, man, that just really hits the nail on the head, and that is just something that's going to really rally people and get people behind this sport in a good way. So he's polarizing, he's sensational, he's everything right now. And to your point, he is touching everything.
Polarizing. I think that's, you know, the right word to use here. And I think we have to embrace that to a certain extent because of the fact that those types of personalities in our sport are kind of few and far between. I mean, you don't have very many people out in the motorsports universe, the NASCAR universe, saying exactly what they feel, when they feel it, how they feel it. And we need more of that.
And he got empowered after the trial.
Yep, sure.
He was there. There aren't many people. I think they just had a small earthquake in Fort Worth.
No, it's a hurricane.
That's right.
I don't think there are many people that wanted to stand up to the behemoth that is NASCAR. Denny did that, and they came away with a W.
Yep.
And when you do that, it's like some people drinking tequila. You're 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Sure.
And right now, I think that's where Denny Hamlin thinks he is. But Brad got it. He's winning. He's running up front. You were going over his stats for the season earlier before we got on the air. He's backing it all up on the racetrack.
He had a terrible finish at Daytona. I think he finished 31st, something like that. And then 31st. And since then, he has not finished lower than 15th, and he has an average finish of 9.4. I mean, that's consistency. And when you talk about this new format that we're in, this chase format, consistency is everything. And when he's finishing top 10 some weeks, top 5 most weeks, that's empowering, I think, for him. He's feeling good.
Heard Kevin Harvick say on more than one occasion, you got to be in top six if you want to win the title.
Brad, I prefer top three.
Brad,
I don't like that.
I knew you didn't like that.
I do not like hearing that. Yeah. I'm not saying I disagree with it. Don't get me wrong, okay? But let's look through 10 races this year. Tyler Reddick alone hung over 100 points on second place. The difference between first and 16th will be 100 points. Now, if you're 16th going in, you're 16th for a reason, all right? So I don't expect the 16th place driver to go out there. You know, what everyone goes, oh, well, look at what Tony Stewart did in 2011. Okay, cite another time where something like this happened. You know, maybe you can go back to 1992 where four drivers, you know, go into the season finale at Atlanta and, you know, we have a, you know, big championship battle at the end of that one. But if you're going to tell me today that maybe the top six or less are the only ones that have a shot at winning the title, why do we have 16 drivers in the playoffs? Or in the chase, I'm sorry. I don't like hearing that because to me, you are taking something that is supposed to be really cool this year and we're going to have a points fight all the way to the season finale and you're saying, well, it's not really that cool.
I think the drivers have pushed that narrative more than anything. I think the Denny Hamlins and the, you know, those drivers that have said, look, I personally feel like I need to be in this position when the chase starts in order to have a shot. And I think the reason why is because that's all data driven. They're all looking at this data and they're saying, this is where I need to be because this is what the data says.
Some of this
is the data say someone would have a 100-point lead in 10 races.
I'm just saying, I think that's where this stemmed from. It's right or wrong. I think that's this. The drivers are pushing this narrative.
I also think the top drivers are pushing this as a little bit of a mind game.
Sure.
Hey,
of course.
You're going to be eighth when we get to the chase. Forget about it.
Yeah.
You're yesterday's news. That's a little bit of it. Don't put that past them. Kyle Busch back in the news. We'll talk about that.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about a dollar a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as a dollar, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about a dollar a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
PRN's Alexis Erickson, and if your life looks anything like mine, you are always on the go. So take advantage of the PRN mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast while you're on the go, making sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. You also get station listings and on-demand access to your favorite PRN shows like Garage Pass, PRN's At the Track, and Fast Talk with Doug Rice, Brad Gilley, and myself. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips by downloading the PRN mobile app today. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
Coming up this weekend, NASCAR heads to Watkins Glen for their first May race there. Hoping that that turns out well, that the weather cooperates, and that all is good. I did find it curious that NASCAR moved that race date to earlier in the year, which yeah. would have been so successful.
Yeah, I think that area of the country is such a beautiful place to go. I think in this, and I don't know for sure because I've never been there this time of year, but I would think early May in the, what they call it, the Finger Lakes of New York, can be anything but beautiful.
I would encourage anybody to go to that area. I've only been to the Glen a couple of times, and it is just simply spectacular. Yeah. The racetrack's nice. The area is better, and it's just a lot to do. Brad, let's talk a little bit about Kyle Busch. It looked like he got him a new crew chief in Andy Street, that it paid off. He qualified sixth. He's running in the top 10. And he just couldn't stand Prosperity at Texas.
No, he couldn't. And, man, what a shame that happened coming to the white flag between him and John Hunter Nemechek. Now, Kyle Busch has put out the SMT data on social media, and what he says is this whole incident starts down the back straightaway. Kyle says, basically, I'm going to run the inside lane, and John Hunter Nemechek's to my outside. But if John Hunter Nemechek's going to run the outside lane, you need to run closer to the wall. You're 2 feet off of it. So Kyle positions his car where he thinks John Hunter Nemechek's going to be, and even says, hey, John Hunter, no, where the right side of your car is. Well, I also feel that maybe Kyle Busch could have known where the right side of his car was because John Hunter was on there. And the data stops before Kyle gets into John Hunter in turn number three. So, you know, I think that's worth pointing out. I'm not saying Kyle put him into the wall on purpose or something was wrong with Kyle's car. I don't know. But still, man, when you're having a good day going like that, that is would they use the word execution all the time in this sport? That was not executing. That, well, maybe it was executing, but a different definition of that word.
All I can think about in this whole thing is, like, what a time to be alive in the NASCAR media where you can just go to Twitter or X, as they call it now, although I still refuse to call it that, and see what was going through these drivers' minds in the time of an incident on the racetrack. Kyle, if you go to his X account, he certainly goes through it, not just sharing the SMT data, but even getting into little spats with, fans that are getting into him about what happened on the racetrack. It's just very interesting to be able to see and hear what they feel like happened in the moment. Because, I mean, you guys remember a time when that wasn't the case. You couldn't just go on to social media and see what they were thinking.
No, he's got the entire data broken down.
Right.
3D diagrams.
I mean, you got SMT charts with, you know, all. It's amazing to see to have that at your fingertips now.
I'm impressed that he went to that kind of length to put something out there like that. I'm also thinking, Kyle, if you don't take that last shot, you and John Hunter Nemechek have a lot better finish.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. And what did he gain by doing that for 12th or 13th place on the racetrack at the time when they were racing each other? I mean, nothing was gained. It's interesting to me, you know, he had the new crew chief this week, and there were some interesting conversations too that were going around on social media again of just some frustration in the car that I would not have maybe expected to hear from Kyle Busch on a weekend when he was starting out with a new crew chief. Some back and forths, and you can go on social media and hear it. Obviously, they had a great qualifying. They were having a great race, and frustrations, again, in a different way, got the best of him. So I think he just needs to take a breath every now and then.
Do y'all think he actually turned right into John Hunter? And I only ask this because he had the right side damage with the contact on the back straightaway. If you go back and watch that, his car is wiggling, and you see the left side tires get down to the apron. Like I don't know. I'm just giving devil's advocate here. I think if Kyle Busch was going to do something again at Texas after he was suspended at this track for a Truck Series incident with Ron Hornaday Jr., that would just be completely losing your mind. Just to play devil's advocate and give the benefit of the doubt, was his car damaged and shot up into John Hunter Nemechek, or was this, I turned my hand to the right?
Why didn't he say that? You know what I mean?
He said, I didn't start it,
but he didn't say, you know, I didn't.
That he didn't
finish. I think that's the answer. That's all I need
to know. You
know what
I mean? If it was a case of, oh, well, my, you know, whatever broke and I lost control, that's what he would have said in this message on social media. He did not say
that. I would think so too.
No, this is effectively to the teacher, he hit me first.
Right.
So Right. Yeah. Daddy always told me to finish the fight.
Yeah, NASCAR doesn't care about who hit whom first when it comes to suspending drivers for intentional contact.
There won't be any suspension.
I don't think there will be
either. No, this will just move along here.
And it was one of two incidents. There was another incident with Ryan Preece and Ty Gibbs also.
Well, when you can spin out on with a lap and a half to race and they say keep going,
they've
loosened the reins.
Sure, absolutely.
This may be boys have at it part two. Take a break. When we come back, a little green flag, black flag.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Fireworks in the air here at National Super Speedway.
Reddick and Bell locked together door to door as they head into three. Nobody giving an inch there.
Start your engines as the Cracker Barrel 400 NASCAR triple header this May 29th through the 31st storms into Nashville Super Speedway, where horsepower meets Music City rhythm. 3 days, three races. It's a high-speed honky-tonk under the lights all weekend long. Get your tickets at NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or call 866-RACETICKS today.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
It is Fast Talk with Brad Gilley, Alexis Erickson, you're truly Doug Rice. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Before we jump into green flag, black flag, a little driver note here from Alexis.
Yeah, I just saw on social media that Catherine Legg is going to be fielding a car again this weekend at the Glen. She's going to be in the 78 with Elf Cosmetics on the side. Always great when you can have a female racer in the field, and she's a pretty good one.
And she's legit, so... I feel like she'll get everything she can out of that vehicle.
Absolutely.
I'll leave that out there. Let's do this now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right, here we go. Another week, another edition. I have NASCAR-themed statements translated from the original Greek. And we're going to read those for you now. Our panel will think them over. And if they give it a green flag, we hear kind of this. If they give it a black flag, we hear. There we go. Okay. Got chewing gum on the buttons this morning. I don't know what's going on. Here we go. We're going to start with Alexis Erickson today. Joey Logano is 17th in points. 7 points behind Briscoe. It's time for his GM fans to worry.
Yeah, I personally think maybe Penske needs to do a little bit of shaking up of things over there. I don't exactly know what the answer is because that's way above my pay grade. But if I was a Joey Logano fan, I would be worried right now for sure. So, yeah, green flag.
Yeah, Brad Gilley. Yeah, green flag. They should be worried. Remember, the criticism of Logano as well has been that two of his three championships came when he had like a 15th place average, okay? Well, we don't have that championship format anymore, so if that's what the average is and has been, it's going to show up a lot more with the chase.
Doug Rice.
Yeah, after the gaffe I saw at Texas Motor Speedway where he tore up a really good race car on pit road. If I'm a Joey Logano fan, I'm concerned he's 17th and I don't know that he'll be 17th. He could be lower than that when we get done with the Glen.
All right. Brad Gilley, we go to you on this one. Carson Hocevar will be in the top five in merchandise for 2026.
Green flag. Easily a green flag. Look, if Carson Hocevar, if drivers were traded on the stock market, I would put all of my money on him right now because it is just going to rise. And I can tell you, when he did anything this past week at Texas, passed a car, passed a truck, took the lead, won a race, won a pole, whatever, everyone, and I mean everyone, jumped on their feet in celebration for him. He is a superstar already.
Top five in merch, Doug Rice?
Absolutely. And one word for young Mr. Hocevar. Enjoy this moment, because right now everybody loves you. You are beloved because you're fresh and you're new, and they're going to start picking the meat off your bones after a while, especially if you're very successful. So right now, after this first win and all of this flush of fame, enjoy the moment.
Yeah. Alexis.
I'm going to say green flag. I really hope, and I think he can, but I hope he can keep the momentum up. It was, as I said earlier in the show, refreshing to see that he could follow up the Talladega success with even more success at Texas, and I hope it continues.
All right, got time for one more. Doug, it goes to you first. Shane Van Gisbergen will not be holding the trophy in Victory Lane this weekend. Will not.
I'm going to black flag that. Even though I don't think he is the dominant road course player that he was before, I think they're going to throw a lot at the Glen, and he will find a way to persevere.
Alexis.
Although I've done it before, I always try not to contradict myself. And since I already said early in the show he was going to win, I'm going to stick with that.
He wins. Okay, Brad Gilley.
Yeah, I was actually going to contradict myself, but I have to go with my conviction. So I will say, whatever it is in the way the question was asked, green or black flag, Shane Van Gisbergen will not win. Ooh. Because his teammate Connor Zilich gets his first career victory.
All right, there we go. Doug Rice, all yours.
All right, love all of that and a lot of varying opinions. It's amazing how the tide can shift so quickly. We'll take our final time out and come back with one last thing.
What makes Toyota Racing, Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
It has fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because They get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Fast Talk, Doug Rice with Alexis Erickson and Brad Gilley. Brad, before we get into one last thing, I know it's always an exciting time when they race not far from where you live down there in Texas. Overall, I feel like the race weekend at Texas, fairly close to a 10.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say it is a 10. Just with the energy, with the excitement, with the crowd, and with the product on the racetrack, that was just awesome all the way around. And the Chris Jansen concert was just really cool.
This sport is so cyclical, Alexis. 10 years ago, there were people saying Texas Motor Speedway needs to be bulldozed, turn it into condominiums, and now we go there and race. Oh, it's one of the greatest racetracks. And then this morning I hear whispers of people, they need a second date. One, they do not need
a second date. No.
Okay. Enjoy the fact you sold out. One, celebrate that. Don't listen to those sirens. Keep yourself tied to the mast.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because there were several interviews given over the weekend where there were drivers that were like, it is what it is, and blah, blah, blah. We see a great, display of racing and a great, battles on the racetrack, and the drivers are still
they're never going to be happy. And if they are, beware, because that means that the product that we get at home is not good.
That's what I'm saying, because they are complaining. We know what we're going to see is probably going to be pretty good.
That it's going to be diametrically opposed to what they're doing. Let's do this little thing right now.
One last thing.
All right, that means anything we want to talk about for about 45 seconds or so. Brad Gilley, it was a home date for you. Let's let you kick this off.
It was a home date. Texas Motor Speedway celebrates 30 years of racing this season. And a really good friend of mine who has been here for every single bit of it, Chuck Berg, retires today. After 30 years at Texas Motor Speedway, he is retiring. He knows every inch of this property. He started as an electrician, worked in operations, facilities, development, and all of that. He will absolutely be missed, but I could not be happier for him. A truly great man, a truly great friend, and done so much for Texas Motor Speedway.
Congratulations, Chuck. That's so nice of you to celebrate your friend. I'm going to talk about celebrating people too, but in a little bit different way. The month of May started a couple days ago, and this first week in May is Teacher Appreciation Week, as Brad Gilley should know. He's married to a teacher. And so please do not forget your teachers. Make sure to appreciate them, because in a lot of ways, sometimes they are unfortunately underappreciated. And then also, don't forget your moms. This Sunday is Mother's Day.
There you go. I'm sure that will not happen at your house.
I don't think so.
I don't think Mother's Day is going to be forgotten. As we record this show, it is May 4th.
Yeah.
How did we go the whole show without realizing that?
Which is Star Wars Day. You know, a part of me wishes they had just done the first three movies that came out and left it off at that. But I will always be a Star Wars fan, even if some of the stuff they put out later on was not up to the standards. It's hard to live up to the standards of the first three.
It really is.
All the sequels gonna be pale. I do like Rogue One a lot.
Yes, I did as well.
I think of all the movies that are outside the original trilogy, if you want to watch another Star Wars movie, that is the one, because it sort of sets the stage for everything else. My one last thing doesn't have anything to do with Star Wars.
I was going to say, that's not it?
No.
Oh, yeah, but that was it.
That is good. We talked briefly about it last week. Congratulations to Steve O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Being the new CEO of NASCAR. I think I see great things coming. I think Steve has a vision. He's not new to the game, folks. He's been there for three decades, but I think he has new ideas that are going to keep this sport vital and maybe even take it up a notch or two. So thanks a lot to Brad Gilley, Kent Bernhard, David Stiles out today. He's a little under the weather, and Alexis Erickson. Alexis, let's keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
There you go, folks. See you next week.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.